My wife said to me today, you know that the stuff you're sharing today really would take 2 or 3 hours. You'd do it in a workshop. So I'm trying to cram in some bits with you today. And maybe over these times I'm with you, I might expand some bits of prayer with you, if that's okay as well. But pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. This scripture tells us, pray on all occasions. So I find myself sometimes I catch a bit of news on the television, I'm praying. Do you do that? You know, I just that situation at Shoreham. As a kid, you know, my mates used to swim across that bit of river there all the time. I never attempted it because I would have drowned. But it was quite a long way, you know, I always thought then. You know, that were awful things. So you pick up prayers. We stand in the gap for people. That's an intercession. You stand on their behalf when they can't. That's at its very heart. And a bullet prayer is just as important as a long prayer. A bullet prayer. I think I said to you that I came to faith through the Boys Brigade. That's where I met Gareth and others through the Boys Brigade as well. And we used to have a prayer meeting when we used to go to camp. The staff would pray for the boys at camp that they might come to find faith in Jesus. That was the whole purpose of going to camp, really. And there was a young guy that he worked for me. I think I said to you, he wasn't the brightest of people, otherwise he wouldn't have worked for me. No, that's not true. He was a nice enough guy, but when it came to prayers, he'd sit there and say almost nothing at all. And then, but every week, he did say this prayer. He said, "Dear God, please save Kevin Leggett. Amen." Kevin Leggett was coming towards the end of his time in the Boys Brigade, and the Boys Brigade used to, what they call, discharge people, you know. In other words, you stop coming, you know, you've grown out of it. And this was his last year at camp. And each week, and you'd think, come on, I'll call him Chris. Come on, Chris, pray something a bit more exciting than that. Dear God, save Kevin Leggett, amen. That's it. Don't last very long like that, does it? Well, guess what happened? Dear God did save Kevin Leggett, amen. I think he's still a deacon at Shoreham Baptist Church. And I know you wouldn't mind me telling that story, you know, and that sometimes those sort of just simple little prayers like that are so important. And sometimes when you don't know how to pray, you can pray, God help. I read a book back written in the 12th century by an unknown monk to his novice saying, you know, if you have to use words, dear God help. You know, he knows what you're going through. He can answer that. You haven't given him a let out. You know, sometimes we pray and give God a let him off the hook, as it were, not that God's on any hook at all. And when we pray, it's not that we are trying to move God's strings at all. We don't change the mind of God. He brings us in tow with what is his heart for a situation. And that's rather important. But anyway, pray on all occasions, all kinds of prayers and requests. There's lots of them. Most prayer involves asking or speaking or indeed listening as well, directly to God, doesn't it? It goes from earth to heaven, and then we hopefully will receive an answer from heaven to earth. That's how most we understand praying to be. That's what we do. But I want to talk to you about a different sort of prayer today. That doesn't go that way, but it goes that way. Okay, not horizontally, is it? No, horizontally. Which? Vertically. Thank you, Gareth. I'm getting tired now. I could hardly say anything at this stage. I try not to. There's another form of prayer that Jesus used and modelled a lot. It's basically called authoritative prayer, if you want a name for it, by my friend Richard Forster in his little book. It's authoritative prayer, and it comes this way. And we end up being like a mouthpiece for God. We speak forth his words. Let me try and explain a little bit more. It's a prayer that's either misused or misunderstood so often, or not used at all. It's a model of prayer that Jesus does. It's like he calls forth the Father's will to be done on earth. He speaks heaven to earth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Okay, he calls forth, he speaks forth the Father's will to be done on earth. In other words, the kingdom of God advancing on the earth. And Jesus, when he does this, I'll give you some examples of it in a minute. He's not speaking to God, but for God. Well, that was for Jesus, surely not for us as well. But actually, in a moment, I'm going to tell you it's for us as well. That we speak for God into a situation. That it's about commanding something to be bound or something to be loosed, something to be stopped and something to be started, to bind and loose. You know that scripture, don't you? Matthew 16, verse 19, where Peter, this is a whole new sermon, so I won't do this to you this morning, but Peter's declared that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus says, you haven't worked that out by your own human understanding. God's told you. God's told you that that's the case. You've learned that from my Father. And he says to him, yeah, you're Peter, and I'll build my church on you, which we think about something at another time, maybe. But he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Ever wonder what they are? What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Well, they were given to the church, but we have forgotten what they are now. Perhaps it's, I'll better preach on that another time. But in other words, they're keys. What's a key do? Opens and locks. Opens and closes. Yeah, it does. It stops things, locks things away, and opens things up. And the keys of heaven like that have been given to the church. Peter and all the disciples of faith in Jesus to bind and to loose. Now, they're used to invade the kingdom of darkness and to further establish God's rule and God's reign on the earth. There we are, a few examples for you. I won't read them out to you, but you probably know these stories of Jesus in the boat, asleep on a cushion, and a storm comes up. You can read it in Matthew 8, verse 26 following, or Mark 4, verses 35 following as well. And the disciples run to him, shake him and say, do you want us to drown? Now, they must have been terrified. They're experienced fishermen. They must have been frightened silly. They're not just, you know, passive observers. So it must have been some real squall that came down, some real storm that was hitting the Lake of Galilee at the time. And Jesus tells them off a little bit, and he gets up. What's he do? Well, he says, dear Father, you can see we're in a bit of a pickle here. The wind's blowing a bit and the water's coming in the boat. Dear Father, would you please help us in some way? He doesn't do that. He doesn't pray upwards. He speaks outwards for God. Quiet, be still. And the storm goes. That's authoritative prayer. Speaking to the wind, speaking to the elements, speaking to the spiritual forces behind that. Quiet, be still. Guess what happens? Well, read it for yourself. Or to a leper in Mark. Mark 1 verses 41 and 42. Again, he doesn't say, dear Father, will you heal this man in my name, please? He says, be clean. And the leprosy left him just like that. That's authoritative prayer. There's another one. What about the paralyzed man at the pool in John 5, verse 8? And he makes all sorts of reasons why Jesus said, do you want to be healed? Well, of course I do. That's what I come here for, because this pool has sort of spiritual qualities. If the water stir up and first person gets in there, gets healed. It's been going on for years, but I don't ever get there quickly enough, Lord. But he said, do you want to be healed? So what's he do to him? He speaks to it. Get up and walk. Get up and walk. Get up and walk. From heaven for healing. For healing, for deliverance, for authority over the elements. Can you see? That's authoritative prayer. Or to the man with the demonic spirit in verse 25 of Mark as well. You know, Jesus says, come out, quiet, and come out of him. And I have to say that over the years, this I have seen a number of folk that were demonized. And it's not a safe thing to actually start closing your eyes and praying upwards when you're dealing with somebody that might be wanting to attack you in front of you. So Jesus looked at the man and said, quiet, come out of him. And I think we've been involved with some of that stuff in the past, Gareth, haven't we? And that's what happens. Sometimes with a bit of a fight, and yes, they do still exist. But we have authority over them. We're not doing heebie-jeebies over that. Jesus has given us the keys of the kingdom. I'll try and explain that a little bit more. We don't see Jesus talking directly to the Father in any shape or form with that. He has obviously heard from the Father, but he's not doing it then. He's taking that authority and speaking it out on earth. Or we see the same in Acts 3:16, where the disciples, so it's not just Jesus, the disciples are going to the temple. Is it the Gate Beautiful? I think it's called, isn't it? And there's a little old song, and they said to him, silver and gold have I none, the man who's crippled at the gate, begging. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I'll give you in the name of Jesus Christ. And it says they looked at him directly. Their eyes were wide open, they weren't doing this. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. I love that old song. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. Do you remember that old song? So do I. We won't ever sing that one, though. Thank you. And that's what happened, because that authority Jesus says more than once. He says it in Mark 1, verses 1 to 8. He delegated authority when he was here to the disciples. I give you authority to heal, cast out demons and all the rest of it. And before he went to heaven, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And I therefore say, you go and do what I do. And even greater things, he said. In other words, more of it in my name. So prayer can be rather powerful. Authority prayer of the disciples. Delegated authority, given us the power of heaven to speak at times to mountains, to issues, to evil. And we still have that power to bind and to release in prayer directly. As I said, it's often misunderstood, but it's a thing that I want to encourage you to use sometimes. You know, there are people that I was praying for a lady at a Baptist church not that far from here, and lots of people were giving it lots of words, and I just felt I wanted to say to her, she's a fellow sufferer with a heart problem, and I said to her, in the name of Jesus, be healed, heart, turn back to your normal rhythm. She is substantially improved. Does it always work? No. But it does work. Because sometimes I want it more than that God does. I can sometimes want what God doesn't want. And it's God's will that we need to pray for. How do I pray? And when I connect with what God wants like that and ask him. So I have seen people healed. All of them? No. Some have even died. But that's part of the natural thing, if that's what God wants. But I have seen some people healed by direct authority prayer. And we've all read the books, but are you fed up reading other people's books? Because I am. God is writing a book for you, a page of life that is your story, your witness, your experience. And I'd like to suggest to you that actually it's a good prayer to start to learn. We often use lots of words when we're a bit short on faith. Keep them short and simple and specific prayers. And say to the Lord, should I be praying like that? Is this a mountain to speak to? And if so, be bold enough to speak to it. Because God's given you authority to. Story of Moses, you know, are you right? Another 5 minutes, we get finished long before kickoff. Gareth? Are you all right? Well, no, they're fine. Trying to get a car park. The story of Moses leading the people out, they were a miserable bunch, weren't they? Goodness me, at times, the people of Israel, they really were. I think I might have left them in Egypt if they'd been mine. You know, I wouldn't have bothered with them. And they get to the Red Sea, and the sea's in front of them, and the Egyptians are pushing up behind them and about to slaughter them. And they're crying out and they're moaning to Moses, weren't there enough graves in Egypt for it to bury us? We told you to leave us there. We were better off there. Sounds like a church meeting to me. God tells Moses in Exodus 14, 15, I think it is, stop praying, stop crying out to me upwards and use what you've got in your, use your hand and the staff you've got. Lift your hand up, strike the sea. And guess what? It parted. Stop crying to me and take authority. So in other words, I'm giving you authority to grab hold of that. I'm giving you authority so you take some of heaven, cause it to be effective on the earth. Most prayers proceed to heavenward. That's a prayer in an opposite direction. How does it work, if you like? We're bringing heaven's resources down to bear on a particular matter. Gerald Coates, my friend again, talked about grabbing bits of heaven and dragging them down to the here and now. Seizing bits of heaven and planting them here on the earth now. And when God tells you to do it, believe me, it's very fruitful and very productive. Yes, no, that's another story. I talked privately to somebody about that. See, I'm talking about saying to something, be gone in Jesus' name. That's binding. But the reverse is true. We also speak forth to loose. So we can pray for hope and peace. We can release the joy of a job. We can speak forth peace in people's minds and their hearts. Even speak, yes, healing over somebody. So I wanted to encourage you, pray positively for your pastor with no let outs, until God says, that's not what I want. But actually, until such times as God says that, give him chance to be God and do something mighty. So we ask positively. So we loose in your pastor's sight good eyesight. We speak good eyesight. We pray, we speak to that situation, good eyesight in Jesus' name. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
Then you can say amen. I haven't spent an hour praying or telling God all the ins and outs about the latest situation with the pastor's eyesight. We just ask that to happen. Actually quite important. So, well, is that prayer? Yes, it is. It's called authoritative prayer. It's a form of prayer that we seem to have missed. That's all I'm trying to say to you. Are you right? So we are seizing bits of heaven. And you know, the kingdom of God's not a matter of talk, but of power. 1 Corinthians 4, I think verse 20 says, kingdom of God's not a matter of talk, but of power. Fewer words, more power. Dear God, save Kevin. Amen. That's an outward prayer. We have to be very careful how you use this sort of prayer. All right? It's not. It needs to be used sensitively and wisely and in the grace of God. Because it's not a prayer that we pray to people. It's a prayer we pray against the powers, the authorities, the principalities. We stand in Jesus' name. We seize the shield of heaven, if you like, and say, you're not coming any further. I told you of the lady that I met, a lady in Louisiana, a black lady who was the first, she was one of the first children during segregation to go into education in a white school. She remembers being guarded by the police to go and the abuse that was thrown at her. Well, it must have done something for this lady's faith because she was one of the most faithful people I've ever met. She was, and I invited her to this country to do some teaching on prayer. And she said they had floods in Louisiana and the floods were coming up the street and they were flooding the houses at the bottom of a road. And she stood there and she spoke to the flood and she said, no further. You know what happened. I don't need to tell you. She said the water came no further and receded. A prayer of authority. Can't pray like that all the time, but there are times to pray like that and ask God to help you and show you the difference. So that's a binding, but a loosening of the chaos of the flood. Loosing. We can pray hope, peace, faith, healing, as we confess God's positive words. God's words are powerful. They demolish strongholds in every pretension. How about you? I'd like to grab a bit more of heaven and bring it to earth to bear, wouldn't you? In that family situation, in that financial situation, that health situation. When I was pastor at Southwick, there was a lot of violence in Southwick Square, the shopping centre. More and more violence. And we as a church, we stood and we faced it and said, no more violence in Jesus' name. It diminished and it diminished and it stopped. Don't read about that now in the same way. So we're speaking blessing and loosing things as well. Well, I put here, that sounds exciting and challenging, and so it is. But all I want us to do is not get stuck on the me, me, me prayers and then the shopping list prayers, but to ask the Holy Spirit to help us explore, because you and I have listened to somebody who's whispered in our ear and says, you're not very good at this, are you? But you are. You and I, however old, however young we are, whatever background we're from, are through faith are children of God. And he's given us all authority. He's given us the gift of prayer to be able to use it to advance his kingdom of love and peace and joy wherever we go. Dear God, help us to seize hold of prayer in a whole new way, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You could have a final song or you could ask me a question.